This is CBS News. Mrs. Mayer, optimistic on Middle East peace hopes. Soviets okay second visit to detained American officers. Attack on the Nixon motorcade draws a retort from the Democratic Party chairman. Angela Davis's male companion indicted for harboring a fugitive. Serious bargaining believed underway in the automobile workers' strike. These and other top stories on CBS Radio. Good day, this is Douglas Edwards, CBS News. A pessimistic assessment of chances for resuming Middle East peace talks was expressed today by Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir. Mrs. Meir told reporters at the United Nations there is no chance of negotiating new agreements when old agreements are broken. The Jordanian ambassador to the UN, Mohammed Al-Farah, told the General Assembly that the United States is trying to freeze the situation in the Middle East. He said the United States has maneuvered itself into the position of encouraging Israel to boycott the peace talks. Al-Farah said that Israel has obstructed all efforts to get the peace negotiations started. And the French UN ambassador told the General Assembly that the American peace initiative for the Middle East lacks the wide base required to make it successful. Jacques Kosciusko-Morizet said it's regrettable that the 90-day standstill ceasefire has been violated, but he said it was to be expected. He said that the American plan proved that peace is not determined by one or two nations, while other member nations of the UN are reduced to playing the role of spectator. A pro-Egyptian magazine in Beirut quoted Egyptian President Anwar Sadat today as saying that Egypt's SAM-2 and SAM-3 missile bases in the Suez Canal area are being operated exclusively by Egyptians, not by Russians. Sadat says our men specialized in the Soviet Union in operating the missiles and have mastered the intricate operation from A to Z. The same story says that the Soviet Army Chief of Staff recently inspected the Suez Canal front at Sadat's request and was more than satisfied at the military situation there. Israeli Prime Minister Meir asked the President of the UN General Assembly today to intervene and try to persuade the Soviet Union to permit 77 Russian Jews to leave for Israel. Mrs. Meir enclosed an appeal from the Moscow Jews. They charged that an attempt had been made to assimilate Jews in the Soviet Union and deny them the chance to develop their own national culture. In the note delivered to the Assembly President, Mrs. Meir said, "I hope and pray your efforts will bear fruit." The Soviet Union relented today and agreed to allow two American consular officials to pay a second visit to the three American and one Turkish officer held in Armenia since their plane crossed the Turkish border 9 days ago. The Russians said the officials can fly to Armenia on Sunday for another visit scheduled for Monday. Two conservative members of the British Parliament called today for the expulsion of Irish civil rights leader Bernadette Devlin from the House of Commons. Miss Devlin returned to Parliament this week after serving 6 months in jail for her role in the Northern Ireland riots last year. There was a sharp step up in violence between Catholics and Protestants in Belfast today. Bomb attacks, damage to police station, and an Irish airline office. One civilian was shot in the leg by British troops. President Nixon, whose motorcade was the target of eggs, rocks, and other missiles in San Jose, California last night, was joined today in his condemnation of the incident by Democratic National Chairman Lawrence O'Brien. O'Brien said the office of president commands and deserves respect and dignity. And he said also these ugly tactics must not be allowed to obscure the real issues in America today. Vice President Agnew, speaking in Belleville, Illinois, talked about the rock-throwing incident of last night. Nelson Benton reports.
The Vice President was speaking to about 5,000 people in Belleville and about 200 demonstrators. Their shouts and last night's violence in San Jose evoked this angry condemnation from Agnew.
What a President of the United States, who is the elected representative of the majority of the people in this country, is subject to rock and other missile throwing. It's time to sweep that kind of garbage out of our society. Yes, I say separate them from a society in the same humane way that we separate the other misfits who interfere with social progress and interfere with the conduct of the business of one of the greatest nations in the world. get them out of our hair where they do not disrupt progress.
Noise was the only incident at the Illinois rally. The vice president was whisked quickly and uneventfully from the hall at the end of his speech. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Belleville, Illinois.
More news after this message.
Pull out for mail call. Tennessee. All right, pass it on back. Abrams. Bert.
Mail call.
Carter.
The names change, but the faces remain the same. All over the world. Lonely. Wondering if anybody knows they're there. That's why USO is there. For more than 3 million servicemen and women away from home, the USO is the next best thing to being home. A place to meet friends, relax, write letters home. But USO needs your help. It gets no government funds. No subsidies. It depends entirely on your contributions to the United Fund, Community Chest, or local USO campaign. So please, give. The USO is like a letter from home.
A news blackout has been clamped on the dispute between the United Auto Workers Union and the General Motors Corporation, and this is viewed as an indication of the beginning of serious bargaining to end the 46-day-old walkout, which has idled some 400,000 GM workers in the United States and Canada. The Defense Department has flatly denied a report published today in Washington Post that there are about 5,000 more U.S. tanks among the NATO countries than top-level Pentagon officials know about. Pentagon spokesman Jerry Friedheim labeled the report bunk. West German Foreign Minister Walter Scheel said today that Russia is interested in achieving early progress toward a four-power settlement on Berlin. Scheel made the comment after a five-hour talk with Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko. The four powers, Russia, France, Britain, and the United States, are involved in secret negotiations on the status of the divided city and improving access to it. Fragments of a Russian satellite that fell on parts of the Midwestern United States last month will be returned to the Soviet Union. State Department officials said that arrangements are being made for Russia to make official identification of the fragments, one of which weighs 600 pounds. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed in moderate trading. Volume on the New York Exchange to this hour, 8,840,000 shares. The average price per share is down 6 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 1.64. Volume on the American Exchange, 2,048,000 shares. The average price per share is down 2 cents.
This is George Herman, CBS News. As Election Day draws closer, political observers in Ohio are watching the contest between Howard Metzenbaum and Robert Taft Jr. Sunday on Face the Nation on most of these CBS radio network stations, the two contenders for Ohio's Senate seat will be the guests to answer the questions posed by our panel of newsmen. Listen for Face the Nation over most of these stations Sunday with Ohio senatorial candidates Metzenbaum and Taft. Throughout the weekend, too, CBS News on the Hour over CBS Radio will keep you in touch with the many political campaigns across the country as they enter the final days. And on election night, CBS News will bring you the returns and highlights from campaign headquarters around the country beginning at 7:10 Eastern, 6:10 Central Time. Follow the campaigns with CBS News over this CBS Radio Network station where what you want to know comes first.
The chairman of the Carnegie Commission on Higher Education, Clark Kerr, says that the number of students entering U.S. medical schools must be increased by 50% by 1978 in order to avert what he calls a crisis in health care personnel. The 18-member commission recommended cutting the training time for doctors and dentists from 8 years to 6 years, opening 126 area health education centers across the country, and the development of 9 additional medical schools in the United States. Kerr, former president of the University of California, says if the commission's recommendations are not followed, there'll be a continuing inflation in health care costs. This is Douglas Edwards, CBS News. Next Tuesday, be a part of Election 70. Vote and then hear the returns from CBS News over this CBS Radio network station.